Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, it's Lesher Energy. It's Brother Wisdom. What's going on, guys? I went on the YouTube community posting and posted about Bebe Kids. And myself and a brother at the workplace, you know, had a really, really big discussion. And, you know, I was telling, you know, we were talking about Bebe Kids and how the movie was so significant. But because at the time we were looking so much at the entertainment in it and laughing that we could not see the message that was being put out. Now you see, Bebe left her children. This is done by Brother Robin Harris, Mother Nature rest his soul, they did the brother wrong, just like a lot of our people. But, Bebe sent $20, all right, to have the three of them go to this amusement park, all right, with Robin and his girlfriend and her son. Now, everything is numerical value, 20. They gave him $20, two, which is a symbol of angelic energy. Three is the symbol of Trinity. But it was four children in all. So four, which represents perfection. And the youngest was the smartest, who was the baby. But in this thing here with baby kids, it was showing us that you had this Robert Harris' girlfriend, I forget the girlfriend name, or the friend girl, whoever she was, her son was representation of our brothers and sisters who were caught up in the system. You got to do this, you got to pay your taxes, you got to do that, you got to do it the way the law says. Oh, if the police get behind you, you got to do this. If they take you to court, you got to do this. You got to pay this. This is what they were. Bebe kids represented those who were free-hearted, who didn't give a damn about nothing. And they were trying to tell him, because they were picking on him. He was like, you gonna do such, such, such. You gonna do this and do that. They were picking on him because he was so closed-minded. How many brothers and sisters out there are actually closed-minded? How many brothers and sisters who are actually sitting up waiting for the system instead of being a free heart and a free mind, focusing on how to free myself? Very few that you can count on your hand. But it's a whole lot more who caught up in the system. So Bebe kids was the children and who were like, we're going to have a free heart, we're going to have a free mind, and their energy was so great that the orc beings, or the so-called white people in this movie, were scared of them, and they feared their energy. And they finally woke the young brother up, and he finally realized that he didn't have to be a part of the system. He didn't have to link into the system. He finally realized that I can be free. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to wear a suit. I can wear my locks. I can do what I want to do. I can build what I want to build. So in the essence of the movie, the energy got so high and they started doing whatever they wanted to do, and they started fucking that amusement park up, and that amusement park was the representation of this whole governmental structure, because it's just an amusement park. That's all it is. It's not real. It's just an amusement park. It's a game. It's all a fantasy. It's all it is. So they ended up exerting so much energy that even this white police officer began running from them. These were children. They were nothing but children. But the children represented the energy, the power, showing us how much power that we actually have when we have a free mind and a free heart. And they literally brought that amusement park, that colossal, huge amusement park, down to the ground. And this is where we are going. We are going in this route. Okay? We're moving in this route because now we're saying, we gotta have a free mind, we gotta have a free heart. Our people say we're tired of this shit. You know, so saw a brother at the gas station. He's like, you know, my day has just started, but I don't want to start it. I could be doing something else. And the thing about it is we could be building. We can be creating. I was watching a video of how to build pyramids from bricks. And I'm like, we can do this. We can start building pyramids from bricks. And we can build huge pyramids from bricks. And we can put crystals and all kind of other things into them. We can really, really do this. Because we got to have a free heart and a free mind. We have been through too much pain and suffering. We have gone through 500 years of genocide. These beings doing whatever they want to do to us on our planet. They telling us what we can do, what we can't do, when we can move, when we can walk, how we can talk. They telling us, and they're on our planet. They're on our land. We have to be baby kids. We got to be free. And say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care nothing about you. I don't care nothing about your system. Let's turn this car upside down. Let's chase this police officer down and beat the fuck out of his ass. Show him how much power he got. They don't have no power. See, what they've caused upon us is a mental contusion. When you say a contusion is a bruise. So they mentally bruised us and caused us to fall from something that was so powerful. And they want us to live under the likes of them. They want us to continuously take the mess from them spraying the skies and creating winter time, and we going running out buying coats and shoes and boots, and you know, they want us to continually be victims to their system. They don't want us to wake up. They don't want us to see the reality that we're supposed to be a free mind and a free heart. That's what made us so powerful. It's because we had a free mind and a free heart. So they had to force upon us something that was not real. I just had a deja vu occurrence. So I was saw myself talking, doing the same speech, but I couldn't remember where I saw it at, but I saw myself. I had to be in the astral room or something. But they want to control our entire livelihood, and we can't let them do it. We can't. We have to become the children. And you see, that's why I like baby kids, because they were just free. They were just free. And like we said, these orc beings, they fear. Their greatest fear of us is a free heart. Their greatest fear is an unlearned heart. And when we talk about unlearned heart, we're talking about those who are not learned in that system. And the baby kids, they were unlearned in the system. They didn't care about the police. They didn't care about that. You had this police officer with a gun on his hip and a badge, and he's running from these four children who were literally wreaking havoc in their little la-la land that they created. They tore that thing down. They brought that amusement park to the ground. And this is where we must be. So we got war. We've got a reason to war. And we're letting them know that, hey, you can't turn us against ourselves anymore. There's many of our people who have worked against their own. We're starting to see that many of them are turning around. Brother Jerome, I got your message too, brother. Hey, my apologies too. All right, my apologies too. We're going to come together one day, two of us and the rest of the brothers and sisters, because we got a lot of work to do. First, we got to prepare our hearts for this inevitable war so that we can go ahead and take back what belongs to us. But yeah, this is what they fear. They fear a free heart. They fear a soul that knows who he or she is. And all these lessons that we have learned, dark energy, worshiping yourself, the light energy, the radiation, the magnetism, the powers that's within us, the ability to control the forces. I mean, all this stuff that we've learned, we must apply it every day. And we must apply it and put it to the test and see that once I link it to myself and there's no more fear, because that's what the baby's kids didn't have. They didn't have fear. There was no fear in their hearts. They didn't care. And this is where we gotta be. I don't care about your system. I don't care about your money. Just like I said, I like the Joker. Why the Joker? He went and broke into the bank and he took all those millions of dollars. He didn't want the millions of dollars for himself. He burned the shit. He burned it because he says, I don't need it. He says, you guys are crazy. You are crazy. And this whole system is crazy. They're idiots. And a lot of our people, you know, like we said before, they're following after the system, and they keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results. But what did the baby kids do? They didn't do the same thing. They were doing different things. Every time you turn around, they was doing something. They was tearing something up, and it's like, I don't care. It's not mine. And this is how we need to be. This is not my system. Why the fuck should I care? Why the fuck should I care? Why should I care if that building burns down? Oh, let me put it on fire for them. Why should I care? So many of our people are stuck in that mindset that, oh, you know, you gotta care for this right here because, you know, we need the money for this and that. We don't need a goddamn thing for these motherfuckers. We don't need no reparations. I saw something about some reparations or whatever. I'm like, me and the brother was talking. I said, there is no amount of money that these beings can give us to repair, because reparations is repair rations. That's all reparations is repair rations. So you giving us rations of money to repair something. There is no money on the planet that you can give us to repair the damage that you guys did to our people, wiping out entire generations. When we say entire generations, we mean there are generations right now that were on the realm, or that were here on our realm, within our realm, that are no longer here. The entire bloodline has been destroyed. Whole generations gone. Mother, father, sister, brother, grandmother, grandfather, uncle, aunt, cousin. Whole generations are gone. There is no amount of money that you could possibly give, that you orc beings could possibly give, to replace the bloodlines that were completely wiped off the planet. There's no money. There's no money to give to replace all the trees that you destroyed, all the rivers and the lakes that you destroyed, all the fruit that you destroyed. And the thing about it is, even our ancient fruit, they have our ancient fruit, the seeds of our ancient fruit, boxed away somewhere at some seed distribution, or some seed holding place. Well, they have all of our seeds, and I think it was like three different areas, and one or two of them got flooded out, and I think they have one left. Well, they have all of our seeds, so there's no amount of money
that you can possibly pay us to replace all the gold on our land that you've stolen, the diamonds, the precious gems that we use for technology. We didn't use them to hoard them. That was just a meteor strike that happened in Brazil a few days ago. And some pretty large-sized meteors, like a few hundred of them, landed. And you guys can look it up and follow it up on yourself. But several hundred of them landed. And this orc government hears about it. And the Brazilians allowed this. And they ran down there and they put a price on the meteors. This is what they do. This is how low they are. They go and put a price on the meteors. You got something that came from the cosmos for the original people. The shit belongs to us. Whatever comes from the cosmos on this planet belongs to us. This is why we got to get ready and be the fucking baby kids and fuck this shit up and take back what belongs to us and not give a damn about nothing. They put a price. They said, oh, this is worth $26,000. So if you got $26,000, you can have this one big stone. I mean, these are nice size meteors that I saw on the thing I was reading. You look it up. The meteor strike that happened in Brazil. And these orc bands put a price on it. $26,000 per meteor. Because this is what they do. They know nothing else but to put prices on things. And our people have got this notion that, well, you got a price on it. We can do it. No. We got to be the baby kids. And the baby kids knows who the enemies are. The baby kids know these orc beings are the enemies. Some of our people today don't know the enemies. They have that time, oh, you can vote for Trump. You can vote for Biden. You can vote for Harris. Guess what? Trump, Biden, and Harris, they're all pedophiles. Huh? They're all pedophiles. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Michael Jordan, they're all pedophiles. Oprah, Ellen. All of them, they're all pedophiles. So the thing about it is, we have an enemy among us. And we have to be the baby kids. And we just have to not give a fucking damn and have a free heart and a free mind and just fuck they shit up. And fuck them up also. Because they got an answer. Their entire species has got an answer for what their forefathers did. And their forefathers did a great disservice to us. A great, great disservice. And we've got to bring the vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Who's the Lord? We are the lords. We are the landlords. We own this planet. We so-called black people are the owners of this planet. And very soon, we're going to have to show our true ownership. Because we're going to have to become the baby kids. And we're going to destroy everything that they created and bring this whole goddamn amusement park that they created to the fucking ground. Don't give a damn about the teddy bears and the little whatever else, you know, that and the teddy bears and all that represents the money and the cars and the job positions and all that. Don't give a fuck about none of this shit. Just tear the motherfucking shit to pieces. That's what we got to do. We got to become the baby kids. And say, you know what? It's over. It's over. Anybody who wants to depart and say, I don't want to do that. You hold your hands up. You say, you trying to, it ain't time to go yet. What, are you trying to leave us? Uh-uh. You joining in with us because you're a part of this. Yeah, we got to become the baby kids and not give a fuck at all. All right, guys. Just a little motivation because we're getting ready for war. You can, and these orc beings can feel this shit in the air. They can feel it in the air. You feel it in the atmosphere. It's all over. The tension is high because we're ready to to get rid of them. No more negotiations, no mercy, no nothing. And we're going in, and we're going in head first. And like one the brother was saying, he said, you know what, how are we gonna get the heads of them? I said, how do you think you get the heads? You start cutting the tails off, that head gonna turn around. You cut the tail of the snake off, that head gonna turn around. That's when you get the head, because now he's weak, because he don't have anyone to fight for them. Their tail is their regular people, the police, the FBI, all that shit. Fuck them motherfuckers up. Show the true power of who we are. We're nature's children. And all those who are confined in the system, we wake their ass up to them and let them know. Slap the fuck out of them. Let them know, hey, wake your ass up, motherfucker. Wake up. Wake up. You've been asleep too long. Let's go to war. Because we've been through too much. All right, guys. Pass this message on to you. Let's become the baby kids. Let's not give a fuck. That's on 100. All right. Peace to you all. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say peace to you all? Oh, I must be tired. Well, you know what? Inner peace for you guys. You got to have inner peace, because in order to have chaos, you must have inner peace. You got to have inner peace in order to show chaos. Tornado has inner peace. The most peaceful part of the tornado is inside of it. On the outside of it is complete, pure chaos. So you got to have inner peace. So I'll say inner peace to you all. But as usual, chaos. Chaos. We bring chaos to this entire planet. Global chaos. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angelic beings. Chaos to you all.
All right. Greetings, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Haru the Seven Oracle Presents. And on this particular broadcast, guys, I'm going to be bringing you Freemasonry Exposed. This is from Esther Asir, Duke of Tears, a wonderful dude to follow. He's on YouTube. You know, as everything is being, as the veil is thinning and everything is being exposed, you know, there's not much talk on the Freemasons, secret societies, secret orders, all of that stuff to, you know, keep humanity enslaved. So, you know, not going to do much talking, guys. I'm going to just give you this YouTube. I provided also the YouTube clip. There is an extended version, so I encourage you to do your own research and follow his channel and also look for the extended version, which is 4 hours of this particular broadcast. All right? So we're going to go ahead and just hop right into it, guys. Hope you guys are doing great. Be sure to check out our website, www.enhancingawarenessradio.net. We have PDF books. You can book services, Oracle sessions, tarot readings. You know, I have a name your own price, like you name the currency, the price. You know, because for me, it's not about the coin. You know, I mean, the coin is nice, but you know what I'm saying? That will come. I'm one of those that will come. You know, that's not my first priority. The first priority is that you get what you need to get. You know what I'm saying? I've done sessions for $3. I've done sessions for $300. You know, so it's be sure to go to our website, check that out. If you want to donate to the cause, to the platform, you can always do that at everything's in the show notes. Yeah, at Haru the Oracle. Yeah, but everything is in the show notes for you guys. For that, we are open for sponsorship. So yeah, guys, definitely appreciate you guys. So yeah, let's go ahead and hop right in. This is an hour and about 16 minutes. So I'm gonna just play a song to go out, but it's just information that needed to be recorded on the ear platform. So thank you. And all right, guys, what we have this weekend. Please be sure to join us this weekend for us. Motivational Classroom and Spiritual Soul Sunday. What we have this weekend is going to be relationships and then the theology of hate. So relationships, what are some of the deal breakers? I forgot the exact word I used, but what are some of the, what is like the number one relationship killer? That's right, relationship killers. You know, we got some great, I wanted to kind of tone it down a little because we've been real heavy lately. So we're going to talk about relationships Saturday. Theology of hate on Sunday, and that's the theology of hate, family, right? So how long have we been hating one another in these families, y'all? It's pretty bad. All right, guys, peace, and join us this weekend, 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 10 Central.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All the streams, all the shares, but we definitely are trying to build some type of platform on our website where you guys can comment and interact with us about episodes, you know, under each episode and directly. But until then, hit us on the socials, comment in the YouTube section. Today we got a very special guest on the line with us. We have a brother that I'm going to allow to explain himself. He goes by the title of Tear the Duke of Tears. I appreciate you doing our show. There's so many different topics that we're going to get into today. I already know how I want to do the episode. I'm going to release about an hour up front for the people, but a lot of this is going to get broken down and released all across Black History Month. And hopefully we can end Black History Month, right? Asir, how would you describe yourself to somebody who is unfamiliar? Why is this black man on here looking similar to Nick Cannon as far as some of these people are going to be? You know, they've never heard of you. They've never seen him. They don't know why that is in this race. Why the Fez, Asir?
Every man or woman is supposed to be under their own mind. I mean, everybody has the right to go and be who they want to be. And in this new world where you can be trans, you can be a
culling is when you get the herd and you feed
so you can keep them more manipulated.
Right.
And so that's what they're doing. So the trans thing is really just a means to an end, like everything else, because really the trans thing is really to get you to ultimately become a castrato or to be okay with pedophilia. Because once you say okay to that, once you say it's okay to have a religion in which the religion sodomizes children, right? You have then created a society by which the idea of children is now become maladaptive, meaning that children are now not there to bring the society forward. Children are there to fuel the society.
Wow.
And so the criminalization of children, the breaking down of children, kind of the psychological of the child as well as the adult as well as the observer, is create this idea and wedge between the purity of the child, you see what I'm saying, and the idea that we must protect it. To then flip the ideology to this child could potentially be a threat to me, so I have to do things to engender its growth and development. So I need to get it evaluated. I need to get on drugs. I need to send it to daycare. I need to get it away from me. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So now this employs whole other industry. Now you have Head Start. Now you have daycare. Now you have this, right? But then at the same time now, you have more of a risk now for that child to get molested, for that child to be raped, for that child to get trafficked. You see what I'm saying?
Are we watching a lot of that end with these shutdowns? And, like, I just had my first son last year. He'll be a year in November.
Thank you, brother. That's awesome. Great.
Are we watching this all end now? Like how with this remote learning and, like, if you do have a family structure, it actually is keeping your child safer from these indoctrination camps.
It is. But at the same time, now you got to watch which ones that you join up with, because they actually doing shit where you can sign up for the online class thing, and then if your child is acting a certain way, they call the cops to come and see your child. So yeah,
that sounds like Kamala Harris.
Yes, because again, that is a demon, what they used to call a headboard Harris. You know what I'm saying? Probably she'd top off all of the niggas in the DNC. At the behest of Big Daddy Willie Brown. You know what I'm saying? You have nothing but gangsters and Freemasons and deviants and sodomists running the country.
Right.
And they come all together. The black ones are in it with the white ones, the white ones are in it with the black ones, the Korean ones are in it with the Chinese ones, and everybody's working together.
Because Freemasons is bigger than any of these nation states, right?
Yeah, keeping this whole thing together. This is why nobody's telling on nobody. This is why nobody's going to jail. This is why nobody is actively coming out. This is why there's always that thing, blood sacrifice ritual going on. This is why you can see songs on TV. This is why you can see pull up any celebrity.
A million of them doing that, right?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Pull up celebrities throwing up the OK sign. You'll run thousands of them.
Right.
Thousands. And I'm talking about going back to the time of, to the golden age of cinema, my nigga. Like,
what is that?
That symbol?
Yeah.
With okay symbol? Well, it used to mean okay, you know what I mean? But really, it's a mudra. All hand signs are mudras. This is what I'm saying, going back to this Hindu pagan caste system shit. All of this stuff go back to that. So when you see Roman, like we're talking about the Romans, right? And all of that polytheistic godism, right? All of that, if we can trace all of that back to ancient India's Hindus, man, with these so-called Brahmin Hindus that came in there to supplant the original dark-skinned so-called Aryans or you know, Thetas or whatever you want to call us, right? So these guys came in and they wanted to be the head cat. So they had a tendency to do things with cows, and we wasn't with that. So we banished them out of that place. The Moors that banished them were a group of Moors who were in South Song with Booster Guy is going all the way back. Long story short, these dudes that got kicked out of India decided that they was going to move up, and they wound up going into what is now Ethiopia. But at the time, we called Abyssinia or Nubia, right? And then these guys went in there, and then they wreaked havoc on the original darker skinned so-called Abyssinians, so-called Nubians, so-called Moroccan Kushites, right? And waged war against them to the point where they forced them to move the capital. So the original capital was at Liabella. They moved it to a place called Aztec.
Was that Libya? Is that modern day Libya?
No, this was still in the regional borders of what we would call Ethiopia.
Okay.
This is where it was originally the capital, when it was still real Ethiopia, right? So, Abyssinia. By way of Nubia, by way of Moroccan Kush, right? So by this time, of these people coming from India, now they adopt now Ethiopian culture. Now they're Ethiopians. They're saying, we're Ethiopians now. You guys that aren't Ethiopians, you guys are now under us, and we're going to move the capital to Aksum. When they moved the capital to Aksum, they then started to translate all of the ancient stuff that was there and take all of the Hindu stuff and turn it into Coptic stuff. So Vishnu becomes Jesus. What's his name becomes this, and so forth and so on.
Well, because they had a flood. They have a story with the flood. I mean, everything that.
The oldest Christianity come from where? Ethiopia, right?
Right.
So, if that's where it came from, that's the oldest one. That means that, again, the whole Christianity thing in terms of taking over people's culture, forcing people to believe stuff, this started with them.
Right.
They did, like I said, after they moved to Aksum, they took their Hindu stuff and then just put it into Coptic stuff. So this way they could still be Hindus, low-key, but now the iconography is different. Instead of it being Vishnu, we're not in India no more. We can't do that. So Vishnu is going to be Jesus. So this one, Mary, or Shiva is going to be Mary. And this one is going to be, right? Then they leave there, create another little kingdom called the Sabaean or Sabbatine kingdom from the Nabataeans, and then they move up into what we call Italy. And those guys, these Ethiopian guys, these Sabaean guys, they set up what we eventually call Rome. And now the same God that's there, right, they now flip it. So now it goes from being Vishnu to Jesus. Now it's not Jesus. And the Sabbatian thing, it went from Mary to Aliyah, right? Now we're in Italy, and now we're in Rome. He's Roman, and these guys are on that. So now we go from Ephah, because that was the original name of Zeus, to Zeus. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then now Zeusy died.
And Mars, right? Because the Romans also, right.
God didn't know, but he's still Hindu, but now they're Italian.
Right.
You know, but we're the same people, though, moving the agenda along.
Right.
It's a problem Ethiopia never invaded. Because Ethiopia is the one, these are the guys that helped set up Rome. And Rome is what eventually helped set up Europa.
And Ethiopia has more pyramids.
But the ones that's there is not the ones that, the ones that are there today is not necessarily the ones that built them. The ones that built them, the pyramids and stuff, these were the original Liabellans from the Toledo dynasty that had been subjected and supplanted to the first, a.k.a. Selassie and them. Because eventually,
that's what I was going to ask about.
Because Selassie's name, Italian name, was Victor the First.
Wow.
Who was the king of Italy.
I've seen a conspiracy theory that Nipsey Hussle was supposedly of that lineage.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it because remember, the Eritreans, this is why they call Italians skinny. Because the real Italians are Ethiopians. That's why Mussolini is in Ethiopia. Because right. That whole thing, that whole Rome was set up by them. And then as a junction point for them to invade Africa through Europe. That's why Ethiopia was never invaded. You understand? Because they were launching the campaigns against everybody in Europe.
Right. Is that what deal did they? That's such an interesting. I mean, what the point that you make there, Asir, I love because it's like there was a deal that was made.
Yeah.
Right. There's this conversation that goes on where it's like, well, Selassie just stood up to them, and it's like that doesn't, things don't really work that way in life. You talk about military, you talk about someone fighting, right? We're talking about war here. You know, come on. So to think that someone just said, no, I'm not moving. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, I guess you're not moving. We'll just go around you then. It doesn't happen.
And remember, like I said, he's he's Ross to Far Right to
right.
The people he come up with. But he's also part of the royal family of the House of Savoy. So from the House of Savoy, they are Italian, okay? You can look it up. Look up the King of Italy, Victor the First, and you're going to see a picture of Salazar.
Wow.
But you ain't never heard these rosters and nobody talk about him in Italian like that. And
right.
They keep that on the low. Because what really happened was he just decided, look, I'm playing both sides against the middle. We want to establish the Italian East Africa. So what we're going to do, I'm going to allow this Mussolini, these dudes who is black, to come up in here and cause the trouble. I'm going to act like I'm in exile. I'm going to go to Britain, which is Rome, right? I'm going to get Elizabeth to bow to me, right? Because he's the head of the Holy Roman Empire, this guy. Understand? So on one hand, so he's Rastafari when he's with the Ethiopians, right? Then he bounced to his palace in Italy and then is now fostering the invasion, you see what I'm saying, that Mussolini and the Mexicans want to set up Eritrea,
right,
which was the county of Ethiopia, under the sphere of the East African Alliance, which is what they call, at the time, they called it the Italo-Eritrean Corridor. And so he then is playing both sides.
Would you describe him as a term that I know Edwin is interested in about as well? We've heard you use it a lot. Would you describe Mussolini as a dirty Moor?
You know, it's interesting because when you really get into historically what was really going on, you really had families going at each other through by fire. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I could see it as dirty. You know what I'm saying? Because on one hand, he's fighting against the people that technically he's the king of, right? But then at the same token, old fan love and war because they still practice the statecraft and he's still part of an ancient house where that's all they've been doing
right.
Since, you know what
I've
I'm
never
saying?
Heard that word, but context clues. Statecraft. Could you break that down?
Statecraft is how all governments work. All governments get to a point where they stop serving the people and only serve themselves.
Right.
So whenever you get to that level, statecraft is employed in order for that government to perpetuate its genocidal or infanticidal practices towards the people by posing them a national emergency, a national event, a national epidemic, a national whatever. So the statecraft that the House of Savoy employed was to get their family members to establish different satellite kingdoms of the house. So that way they could extend their spirit influence all over. So look at Jamaica. Jamaica was basically breaking away from Britain and they sent a lot of money by way of Britain. But remember, Selassie got Britain under his thing because they see him as the Holy Roman Emperor. So they came up with a plan to bring the Jamaicans back into the sphere of British influence by way of Ethiopia by getting this guy to be accepted as God by them. Because the so-called Moors, the so-called melanated people from what they call Jamaica, which is really Escamica.
Right.
They indigenous Arawak Tainos. They wasn't imported from Africa nowhere. They always been there. And when they rebelled against everything, they became known as Maroons because they marooned themselves outside of the Christopher Colon system. Colonialism comes from the Colon family that created the system, who again was black, melanated, and was paid to do it by members of the Braganza, Portuguese royal family, and the, what you call the royal family of Spain, which was Aragon. So they merged together.
Aragon was the name of the kingdom?
Aragon, right. Because we Moors shut the whole world down, put the whole world in time out after the Dark Ages, and shut Rome all the way down where they had nothing left. They were basically reduced to one little kingdom called Astara, right? And we let them rock because we respected valor. We were able to fight to the very end. And then those Astaras, right, that first generation now that was born under Moorish rule, their children all became known as Mozara, M-O-Z-A-R-A-B-S. We really get to take the M-O-Z off and get the word Arab. The Mozara, the white, were the Christians who grew up and practiced Moorish culture and science and stuff like that, even though they were still Christians. So sometimes we see pictures of like white boys dressed in turbans and stuff, like, oh, see the Moors. They try to make it like they were the original Moors. No, they were the little Moors. They were the Mudejars that grew up under our rule and decided that they wanted to live like us because that's the only way to come up.
You brought up a good point, and I know you're about to keep going. I saw you break down one time because I bomb on Freemasons a lot, and people are always trying to convince me otherwise. And me, my reasoning is, I said, if the Moors are the original teachers and also my ancestors, also my mother's family maiden name is just Moor. I don't know why, but it always makes me curious.
You know why? You know why?
Well, we know why. I mean, yeah, my last name is Moreno.
See?
You know?
See, a Moreno is a free Moor. See the thing? A Mudejar is a broken Moor, like a little Moor. You know what I'm saying? So that's
not a Shriner.
So that's why Dominicanos refer to black as Moreno. You see the thing?
A free black.
Well, man, it looks new. And then but then when they want to diss you, they call you Negrito.
Right.
Because one
interesting.
That's right. Because these are the ones that help sell us out. So we talking about falling in Spain, like when we talking about we fell in Spain on life, first of all, that's not true because there was no Spain in 1492.
Mm.
Oh,
so here you go. So that place was called España. And España, when you look at the real map, that shit was over here. It's what you hold is maps, and then it's what they call septentrional maps.
I've never even heard that word.
Me neither.
Or what they call maps to the extreme west, or what we in more the empire refers to as Maghreb, the Maghreb al-Aqsa, which is the Morocco, the farthest west. So
that's the Treaty of 1787. They reference that, right?
That's right. But then you could get the Congressional Record of 1845 in the United States of Texas, and it tells you in it that the land belongs to the ancient Mauritanians, the Moorish people, and their Indian associates.
Wow.
The Indian associates are the mestizos, or what you would call the mestizo, right, which are the white-looking Spaniard-type Native American. And then you have what you call the Zambos, which are the real dark-skinned-looking Native Americans with the straight hair. Those, they are the Indian associates mentioned in that document. They are the admixture of our ancestors, me, you, brother, all of the melanated men, all right, who took wives or took concubines from the Siberians that came over here in the invasion in the 13th century with Genghis in it. But if you look at that history,
you brought that up in a different one.
And then what happened?
God invaded America, correct?
Yes. What they call today, they'll call them. We call them Tartarians, Tartarians, but they'll call them Mongolians or whatever. But essentially,
interesting.
These Tartary Moors came over in the 13th century by way of the Pacific, from the California side. And we had an influx of white Slavs that were imported by European cousins, the Atlantic side, right? But that shit didn't happen until the late, the thing that happened with the Mongolians, that happened in the 13th century. that's why we was kind of still kind of getting our stuff together throughout the whole 14th century. You know what I'm saying? Because we put in so much work to lock these dudes up. So what happened was they came over here with Genghis to do their work. We shut them down, and then we put them on reservations under heavy restriction. That's why they all live on teepees. That's why they all live in teepees and all of that. Mm. And had no actual land, no houses. They didn't live in no houses. We lived in houses. We lived by the land. We built the pyramids and all that stuff that was over here. We built. These niggas lived in the plains, in the field, had to eat off the buffalo and all of that. You understand? That's why when the buffalo went, they was done. Because they was homeless, so they not really from here. They got here in the 13th century, you understand? Which means what, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So that's right, what, 8 centuries ago, whatever.
Wow.
Y'all just got here.
That's why they're... That's why they're native, but not in a
native. Because native means that you're somebody in your family, your mama was enslaved during the 15th and the 16th century. And I just told you who's doing the enslaving around that time.
Right.
That was us when we created a whole race of people. So that's what we would do. We would just get to a point like, you know what? These niggas over here bugging. Let's get these Khazaris and we're going to create a whole race. We're going to call these ones the townies.
Wow.
Okay, these ones over here, these niggas bugging. We're going to call them the Fizos. Then these ones over here, okay, after certain countries years or whatever, these are the Zambos. Then these are the what you call it? The, you know what I'm saying? Like the county. Like
right.
None of these people was even considered white. Until
wow. You're right.
Because they were.
These guys,
all black, like me and you, up to this point, and then they created Reconstruction. And now got us thinking the exact opposite. They got us calling ourselves Slovaks. They got us calling ourselves Slovenians. Think about that. When you say that you're a slave, you're calling yourself a Slovenian.
Wow. That makes no sense.
You could never be that. You could never be that.
Wow.
You could never be that. You know why? Because you're not from there. That's not your... If I take a Bronx, if I take a tiger from India and put that tiger in the Bronx Zoo, that's not a Bronx tiger. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an Indian tiger in the Bronx.
Right.
They got you thinking, because these niggas live here now and speak English, they Americans. That's not how it works.
Wow.
That's not how diversity of citizenship works.
It's a logical fallacy, correct?
Yes.
They took notes, and they're like, oh, okay. I mean, even because I'm connecting a dot, you mentioned something. This is just something that's been done, right? And I'm thinking about Vlad the Impaler, Vlad
yes.
Dracul. And I'm thinking about, like you said, this motherfucker's bugging.
Yeah.
We got to go. So there's just everyone, this is, you can look this up, right? You can find out the Moors went and shut down Vlad the Impaler.
And that's right, because... Even a lot of Moors have secularized. They've either ensconced themselves in temples, or they've ensconced themselves on the internet, or they've ensconced themselves on this anti-temple thing, or they're low-key Freemasons acting like
right.
on a thing.
Right.
Everybody's serving somebody else.
I call them agents. For our listeners, what he's talking about is when I refer to these agents, so many dudes in every aspect of everything are just Freemasons, and that's what they adhere to.
And it has nothing, and again, Masonry is not a bad thing.
Right.
We're all Masons because we're all born from our mother. You know what I'm saying? If you got a navel, you're a Mason. You know what I'm saying?
Take that down a little bit more, please.
Mason means son of the mother, or Nay's son, or Moor's son, right? So a real Mason is one who understands the essence of what the temple is, what the true temple is, when they follow the temple. Really. So there's the physical one in the world, and it is the one that we're ensconced with in our actual physical body, right? Which is the soul of man that we live in. And so all men who are created equal have the right to stand at the perpendicular from the ground, from toes down all the way up, right? That procedure of becoming, right? Going from crawling, right? To going from not doing nothing, standing still, to crawling, right? To climbing, right? To walking, right? To running, right? To now walking your path in life, right? To then get to a point now when you get older and now you're hunchback over and now have to walk with a cane. That's a two-ball cane. One of the degrees of Freemasonry. So the idea of man is to, you go from the beginning, that's the point that when you come out, you are coming out of order into chaos, to go into the chaos to bring back the order. You understand? So Freemasons who come with this understanding are broken up into two frames, the Northern District and the Southern Jurisdiction. Northern Jurisdiction, Southern Jurisdiction. York right, Scottish right. Okay? We created this whole thing to civilize devils because they were savage and did not know how to cook and they cooked properly. They were eating each other. They were doing a lot of things as they were becoming more and more, as you would say, closer to becoming mankind. So we had to do things with them to bring them into the so-called human family. And there were elements of our family that decided to use that to their advantage by scooping these dudes up, giving them certain things, freeing them, accepting them, wow, and then giving them tokens to then do business on their behalf against those of us that may not like having these golden arts or Mamelukes or whoever doing business like that, because we know that they're not the original. And that if this family is using them against us, then technically they may be trying to supplant our dominion. And then when we leave, these dudes that are fighting for these other Moors, right, they get to then stay on our land that they kicked us off of and then pay rent.
So question then, based on what you're saying, to me, it sounds like being a black, so-called black Freemason is an oxymoron. It sounds like you work it back.
Well, it is, because this is also, remember, the modern Freemason is also a bastard form of Jesuitism. All Freemasons are Jesuits, and all Jesuits are Jews. So these guys are all under Rome. Scottish Rite, the highest degree going at is 32nd degree. York Rite, 33rd degree. But the 32nd and the 33rd, it makes no difference, because what they're not telling you is that represents the 32 or 33 degrees in the lumbar region of your spine, because you have 33 vertebrae. So when you are walking and reaching your 33rd degree, that is now you representing the devil who has now been trained to walk upright. But you, original man, you was already born on this way.
Right.
So why you now putting yourself under a ritual you gave to somebody to civilize them and bring them back into civilization, which then means that you yourself, black man, are not civilized because you are still following the pale gods of Europe in a ritual that was created to actually show and prove to them who the original man is. So
right.
Now, but that's like, you just had a baby, right? So this whole thing symbolically is like you, okay, you just had a baby. You changed the baby diaper. You want the baby to know how to change diapers. So you show the baby how to change the diaper. Now, because you want to see if the baby understands it, now you put the diaper on. And now you get the baby to come and change. That's Freemason.
Wow.
Who don't even believe in no God, don't even believe in no fraternity, don't get like people getting together, putting on aprons, right, which basically represents that they have no phallus. That's what the apron represents. We gave them an apron because they had no, because they had microphalluses, because they weren't fully matriculated.
It was
so
to hide their shame, right?
Yes, so the apron was there to hide their shame. And then when they walked, we made them walk across the Ohio River Desert so much that it got to a point where they could walk. So we was giants on these giant camels and horses. These niggas was walking, so it got to the point we just got them a couple of little goats and had them ride the goat. That's why riding the goat, Raja, is a part of the Freemasonry. See what I'm saying?
Wow. Is this where that whole Thank that you. Fucking ghost or people fucking ghost stuff stems from?
Yes. This is the ritual. This is the goat Roger, the Jolly Roger, the goat. Because that's what they got to do. Because they have to, the lamb, the apron was made of lamb. And then the goat is what they had to ride. So that's why they got to ride the good goat Roger. You see what I'm saying? Because that was the only thing that worked out for them when we were putting them in caves and banishing them during the dark ages again. And remember, a dark age is 2,160 years. So if you say that these people are in dark ages, you understand? We don't know how long that was.
Right.
Because we can't even go by their date. Because little do you know, or we knew, in 1581, the so-called Catholic Church put out what was called the Per Intercessionis, in which they said that anything that happened prior to 1581 didn't happen. This is why all Christians believe that everything happened in the last 6,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and made that law.
Right.
Anybody that spoke about anything the year before was killed. Black people doing this to other black people. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's stop giving these Caucasian people way more power than they deserve. Because these people did not, they couldn't even leave Europe. They couldn't even leave the damn cave. You know what I'm saying? Until a certain time. So really, our people really didn't fall to nobody, really, that wasn't us until after, I would say to be marginally real, between like beginning of the 1900s, right when Birth of a Nation came out, and like 1920. That was like the height of the empire.
Hold on up here, but McGraw-Hill told me that we were slaves. And even though when I went to my family reunion, I talked to my Indian family or the ones who had kept that story. And they said they don't know shit about that story. They said we always been here. But McGraw-Hill told me that everybody who looked like us was slaves. So
that's what the Freeman. And he's trying to get you to give up your birthright to some Africans who can't even get their own country straight. These people got their own country, and they can't even keep the white man, keep themselves together, and not all of that. They tell us that we got to go and get them. Why is it that you never heard no Africans actually talk about how to track down the people they sold that was in their land? Why is it the only black people from America that are told, you know, you really from Africa, you should trace your roots back to Africa, but there's people talking and all of us on the phone. In India, in Europe, in Australia, and they will never go to them people and say, you know, you're really from Africa, you're really an Australian African.
That's a great point because even my family, they live in Colombia, and they're in Cali. They live in Cali, Colombia, and my grandma. I talked to my grandmother. My grandmother, She's darker than you. She's darker than Zeke. I mean, she's the real. Interesting. See that's it. Because I asked her, where are we from? Where did we come from somewhere? Did we check out? Because we've been
all the way to
here. My great grandfather. She's talking about her great grandfather. I'm like, this is generations. You know, like we lived in a gold mining town, we owned land. So my thing is, I'm like, holy shit, we had all this. And for some reason,
right.
Roman, we're dealing with. You understand? And whoever is that just Roman Grand Señor at Cordoba to reestablish the Holy Spirit. And then they was like, cool, we'll do it. We're going to let y'all do it, but y'all got to take a text to trip. Cool. They did that. And then this was a premier of all of the so-called European houses. So why Germany, the Germany, our Germania became the head of the Holy Roman at that time. Right, all the way up until Napoleon came and it shut that down. Another black man shut that down.
Napoleon was a black man.
Of course. They're all black.
Wow.
They're all black. Remember, Josephine was black. Alexander Dumas was black. His brother Prince Murat was black. So how is everybody black but the main dude?
So it's here because we got a real diverse audience. They're going to be like, okay, this dude's saying this stuff, but how does he prove this stuff?
It's the book, Sex and Race, volumes 1 and 3. It's the book, Origins of Humankind, by Churchwood. Get the book, Superman to Man by J.A. Rock. Get the book, Consecrated Talisman by Chris Uriel Bates. Get the book, Ancient and Modern Britain by David Lee Ritchie. Get the book, The Forgotten Cause of the Civil War. I had to stop naming books because they started to go up in price. One of the books I read,
right,
$500,000 now. I ain't trying to get no more money.
Just so you have this, just so you can say this in the future, I know for a fact what you're saying is true because every time I would watch your stuff, I would start putting books in my Amazon cart. And, you know, the day job I work, I would just be waiting until I got a little bonus and I would grab them. Books that I had sitting in my cart went from $200-$300 that I was going to spend to $1,900.
That's how you're doing for. That's how you know it's stuff you need to read. Because they want to hide it and start putting it in a book, right?
Yeah.
So I literally, in my career coming up, I used to go and, like, my niggas would go and, like, clothes or boots, whatever, I would be the book booth. So we would go up to all the libraries, all of the, what you call them, like the Freemasonic, the big Freemasonic library on 21st Street. I got lift up in there. The brothers, I would walk up in there. I'm in there back in the day to wear like my locks and my feathers, more like Indian type, more like Native American Indian type. So I would be up in there with the rain stick, the crow feathers, the locks, right, the bullet belt. I'm walking up in there and he stops and he's like, well, they're not going to let us up in here. He's like, watch. This elder walked in. They look, hey, brother, now what are you doing? Going up to 43, what is the problem? Okay. He running through here. But it looks like
here, isn't that how it's supposed to be? Aren't they?
But what I'm saying is to say this. They had, so me and him walking up in here, right? They had some black brothers in there. Who is Prince Hall? You could tell. Prince Hall is connected with the ritual. If you didn't know. Big up to Prince Hall. When it comes to rituals, you're not dealing with nobody who's Christian and them. You know what I'm saying? They like the army ritual. But they cut stuff, you know what I'm saying? And they messed up because they still following wrong. So we're going to talk to him, brother, that will get on the elevator. And it's three of these brothers, immaculate, looking straight ahead like they don't even see us, right? The white man that's in the elevator with us looks over and literally bows his head to us. Literally. And we know he's his brother, because he's there, there with him. They're going to stand to go to their little. But he's giving us all the props. You know what I mean? He acts like our servant. And then that makes me even think, because again, we're more. So when you put yourself under the ritual to become a Roman, you lose that which is naturally against that. Therefore, now, you have to, if you want to break away from that meeting, and if you want to get out of that Freemason stuff, whatever, you have to find a more super person to get you out. Because, again, man, you're not served from that.
Have you done that before?
Say it.
Have you done that before?
Great increase. Right now, it's so much. It's the same thing.
Thank you. I'm
but in the private thing and in the ritual, they have to ask permission. They have to ask forgiveness from the black woman. Right. know what I'm saying? Because they're worshiping inverted gods like Attis which is really a newer version. He's more like a new version. So Baphomet came by way of a guy named Eliphaz Levi. And Eliphaz Levi is the dude they say wrote the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ that was prepared as the Morris Circle 7 Quran. So they want to say because Eliphaz Levi came out with the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, somehow like the prophet plagiarized it from him. But what we don't, Moors don't, what people don't read or realize is that Eliphaz Levi got that directly from a dude named Pascal Beverly Randolph, who was the Lord of all the Rosicrucians in the world at the time, who was a black man, who was also the son of Edmund Randolph of the Continental Congress. His mother was a queen from Madagascar, right? Huh. And this is the guy who built what we understand as modern occultism today. Beverly Randolph, the first so-called, this is the guy who used to write Lincoln speeches.
Interesting.
He used to perform seances and shit at the White House to get the devils out. And it was bringing the Freemasons in to do all the satanic rituals and all that. He was the one fighting against that.
So
all of this satanic stuff, all of this devil worship, and all of this stuff can be traced right back again to our people. And I'm not calling our people devils. I'm just saying that. We have to understand that everything, if we're the oldest people on the planet,
right,
that means we had to do it first.
Right.
There was a giant, everybody talked about Egypt and how great the dynasty and Kemet and all that shit is and all that, but the certain dynasties they don't really get into. They don't really, they kind of gloss over the dynasties.
They cherry pick.
Yeah, they cherry pick what they like. Right, great word.
How come they never teach us about what's in that Grand Canyon? I've seen some statues in that Grand Canyon.
Yeah, because ancient Egypt is over here. New Kingdom Egypt is over there.
Right.
Oh.
I'm even thinking about our infrastructure as a city. You know, we live in Chicago, and no one talks about our sewage system. No one talks about, you know, it's deep. This stuff is deep, you know, and what we built on top of, right?
Bro, it's ancient.
Right.
These cities and these places that we're in now have always been here. They just repaved everything and created a new history. They call it Reconstruction.
Right.
And they gave us this narrative, and they got enough so-called black masons to help them push it. And they remade the country in 1871 and started to move on our government. They
did a lot of stuff through paperwork that, from what I see and understand.
Their nationality existed prior to 1492, and it didn't. None of these people that say that they're there, remember, your grandmother is older than half of these countries that's out here today. You understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
Your grandmother's older than Italy. My grandmother's older than Zimbabwe.
My family's from Belize. Are you familiar with the country? My family's from Belize. It used to be called British Honduras.
See? But what was it before it was British Honduras?
Right.
See? See? Right. See? Right. So that means it's always it. You know what that means, though? That means that it's still what it was before it was British Honduras.
Right.
But they got us thinking, and this is where we got to flip it, they got us thinking that these are Caucasian people walking into these hot-ass African, hot-ass forests. And going in there and taking it over and forcing these people to do them, which is gun? No. The first form of imperialism and colonialism started with the black European nobility that left Europe and went into Africa and set up their little fiefdom.
Wait. Asir, one more time. You said black European nobility. Explain that.
The original black so-called, I don't even like using black, but the original melanated Europeans. The original Europeans that you read about in David McRitchie's book, that you'll read about in Isaac Van Smyrna, Isaac Van Smyrna, African president in early Europe. When you read about this stuff, when you really get into who is really European, when you get into the fact that Europa is a jet black goddess that they refer to now as the Venus of Willendorf. So when you see that statue, what they call the Venus of Willendorf with the big breast and the big this or whatever, that's actually Europa. That's what the Caucasian slaves, the Slovaks, and then was worshiping in the caves and all of that, while we were actually building civilizations, living in the civilizations over there as the original modern Europeans. And these Moors, the aristocratic Moors, can sing?
Yeah, we can hear you. I'm showing the thing I'm talking about.
Thank you, Mark. The original aristocrats, they maintained their estates through the Dark Ages up until, so it's the end of Rome, everything is shut down. We now go about re-terraforming the entire planet. And in that, we start bringing stuff from one place to the next, this, this, and that, or whatever. While these Moors in Europe, they're basically similar. So what they want to do is have their own nations again as new Romans. So we give them a charter to set that up. We gave that charter to Otto and Edith. Pull up Otto and Edith, 962 Otto and Edith from the Holy Roman Empire. And then they said, cool. And then they, Otto and Edith, started to unify with the other people, the other European Moors that wanted to have their nobility as well. You see what I'm saying? Again.
Otto and Edith, we got pulled up.
There you go.
These look European.
Yes, you go. The one right there, you just passed it, where they both sitting together, where they got brown. They look like copper.
Yep.
You see it, right? That's it.
It's on this page.
Asir, you mentioned something that that I wanted to go back to, and it really caught my attention, the flip, right? The flip of the map, the flip of, direction, the flip of history, I mean, literally everything being flipped upside down. And even, we're having a conversation earlier about, a masculine energy and feminine energy, right? Mm-hmm. And is that a big part of, is that something that's happening here? Is there this war where the masculine beliefs take over? Or where did that come from? Or how did that,
So if you mentioned that's the war of Lilith and Adam.
Oh.
Adamic, the so-called Adamic races were the races that were created after what they call creation. So Lilith represents that which existed pre-creation. So when we read about the mythic creatures and the giants and Rocky and all these things in the Book of Enoch, the Book of Giants, the Book of Judas, all the books about the Bible and stuff like that, when you read about stuff, you'll see that there's always been life. It's just that when stuff gets to a certain point, there has to be a renewal. There has to be a reset. You know what I'm saying? Right. So whenever we reset the planet is what we say 24,896 square miles. In our
of that are we at?
Now, secondly, in the Morristown, they'll bring you at, I think, 1440 or 1439. In the Asiatic town, though, we're 15,000, I believe, 474. The year 15,474 in the Asiatic calendar. The Ethiopian New Year just happened the other day, right? Like 2 days ago or whatever. So with this year, everybody's in a different calendar. So if everybody's on a different calendar, then that means this is like what they call time zones. You know what I'm saying? So that time zone is another representation where I'm talking about how the Taurus field exists in the brain. How it is, how it feels. Therefore, the Taurus fields that are existing in your area are being affected by whatever's happening in that area. But that has no direct effect here until people from there come here. Right? Because we're in, as individuals, we're also the Taurus field individually. So that means when I come in contact with yours and yours come in contact with mine, these fields overlap with each other. So we're at a time now where the beast is about done. So his time on the planet is pretty much over. So what it has to do is engender us to find another way to keep it here in another form. So what I'll do then is encourage interracial relationships so that way I can get this white man to engender himself in the future as a mulatto Obama type. You know what I'm saying? Who's still white supremacist in the mind. You know that based on the lack of knowledge that so-called black people have, they will automatically hoist him to the top of them. That's why we think the pace of most of the so-called revolutionary work right now is all so-called black people. And all the people crying are black people. Right. Jeffrey Sims is out there doing what he needs to do. Kamala Harris is allegedly speaking for black people, right? Mm. What's his name? All of these lighter skinned people are saying that not to exacerbate the colorism thing, but to show you at the same time that the people who are advocating for these people to stop dying, right, are people who phenotypically are the ones that the people killing the people want to replace them.
Right.
You understand? And so the dark people who are actually being murdered, who are actually being killed or whatever, instead of them unifying each other, what they then do is try to go into other groups to seek protection. So I'm going to marry this white girl for protection. I'm going to marry this white girl. I'm going to get with this Jewish person. I'm going to become a teenager. I'm going to become a cop.
Wow. Right?
But everybody else is basically doing the opposite. They're joining up in their own communities with their own people against our people. You know what I'm saying? So there is a disconnect internally, I think, from how we see ourselves, then from how we're being seen, and then how we collectively want to get together.
Right.
In the 1700s, one of the things they used to stop this from happening was a legal action. They referred to it as meritus humiliation. And what that means is, if you
call that, you teach us something. If you want to learn more about it,
perfect example, Dr. Scott Anderson. Didn't they just have a giant thing about reparations the other day, a couple of months ago, where they was in Congress talking about how reparations want to this and do that? Who did they have? They had the Washington, D.C. Coast.
Right.
Nigga who writes Black Panther.
Right.
And another actor.
Right. People who are against reparations, right?
People who are not qualified.
Right.
On how to actually bring it to the
fruition.
Well,
right.
Anderson was talking about this before I was born. How come he wasn't on the stand?
Right.
Who was the person choosing to represent the black people to actually get it expressed accurately in terms of the numbers? No. Because what they do always is put actors, athletes, dancers, writers,
who they own.
Expression to be the people to represent you. They did not want somebody that's actually political and apolitical, meaning that he's only for the people he's looking out for us.
Right.
He's in position. You see? So if we had our own so-called lobbyists that would be out there lobbying for us and getting our agenda for it, I don't care. They're crazy. Fuck them. Do that.
Right.
But for people that are just going to put other people in control over you. So they can get a little bit of crumbs or they fumble, then
between the lines. You know, Ta-Nehisi Coates is a good example. I mean, it was interesting because his recent book, I forgot what the name is. It was. I'm like, this is confusion. This is not a good way to spread awareness or knowledge. You know, and then it's interesting to think where I'm like, not even me thinking that I'm like, man, am I judging myself? Is that wrong of me to think that? Is it? I'm like, no, this is a better way that the people could learn. It's just direct. Like, yeah. why can't it be direct? This half truth nonsense.
Yeah,
Isaiah and I constantly talk about that. We see where I'm like, look, this. I see what this person is saying, but it's not being said in a way that our people can understand. So now, to me, that I don't know how I feel about this person. This person may be an agent.
Exactly, bro. And that's what I'm trying to say. We just have to assume that anybody that's in or signs a contract with these people is down with that. Once you accept that, if you go to a Hollywood party, pick up a rock, and just throw it into the party, whoever you hit is probably down with it.
Right.
Same thing. If you go to a political situation, go into any situation like that, and you will probably be the same.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It's to the point where we don't have, there's no way for original people in this country or any other one at this point to really follow their own fine victory without having to take into account all these other parasitic people who really don't want to see us win, who have been living all of our spaces and our inheritance and our birthright for as long as, so long as they can remember that they look back.
Right.
So they are used to us being in the bottom of them. They're used to us feeling like that even though they're not from the country, they can come here and do better than us. And they don't really want to look into why.
Right.
Africans over there call us a Baku. Or is it a Baku? Is it a Baku or I think it's a Baku, which means like cotton, like, or Kaffir. Or,
I've heard Kaffir.
Yeah, Kaffir is the what they call us. The Arabs would call us Abid, right? A-B-E-E-D. The Africans, I believe it's a Baku or a Baka or something like that. But essentially, everybody's living off the false narrative. Everybody's living off the idea that they are better than us. Excellent. That they are better than us, and they have the ability to create some sort of fake reality that we become subjected to.
Right. And if you could do us a favor, and I'm for sure going to chop this up in different segments. This is going to go on the segment where you talk about Freemasonry.
Yes.
Could you explain the term and history of boule to us? Because I know it ties right in with everything else.
Yes. The boule is a pseudo Greek word that means advisors to the king, right? So they are advising what the king is supposed to do. The boule is also a so-called Greek, what they refer to as archon situation, which they believe that they are following the tenets of the ancient so-called Greek houses. But again, the term Greek or Greece is a word of art that was perpetuated by the same fake reconstructionists that created everything else. So when we speak of the boule, the original layman term for that would be the talented tenth. These talented tenth who are on were a part of the so-called Black Bourgeoisie that was hand cherry picked, you say, by members of the integrated mulatto so-called white Freemasonic society to be able to move Black people from having real political power to becoming basically wards of the state and dependent upon the new infrastructure that was being implemented through 1871. So the original Civil Rights Act, it is by the original name of it was the Indian. Okay, so that shows, and then when you read it, the line as it goes down from the Indian Act to the Indian, I think, Reservation Act or whatever, and then it starts getting into Black stuff. one that in there proves that the American Indians will be designated under the term Negro, Black, and Colored by a guy named Walter Flecker, who himself was one of the members of was cool with Marcus Garvey. You can see Walter Flecker on the podium standing next to Marcus Garvey giving speeches. But then it made me look at that even different because Marcus may have been actually a Marquise.
Huh.
Because I told you the black nobility in Europa basically came here in America, went into Africa after the Belgian Conference and locked it all down. But then they would send the resources and the money back to their Slovakian servants who are minding the store for them while they're gone. Then around 1912 to about 1913, they decide to cease to recognize what they refer to as the absolutist monarchies of Europa. When they say the absolutist monarchy of Europa, they talk about the black people, what they call the black nobility. They cease to recognize them as the dominant houses in Europe. And decided then that while they is out there in Africa,
what does that be considered a coup?
Yes, that's exactly. And while they're in Africa doing their thing, that's when they decided, well, what we're going to do is usher in the age of nation states. You see what I'm saying? And now they started to create state states out of the original shit that they was in while the blacks in Africa was gone. So now they look and say, nobility in Africa was going for them. They can kick us out. We can't go back. So now we got to stay. See? And so
before or after South America?
I'm talking about the age, what they call the age of new imperialism. That started between 1881 to about 1928.
Wow.
And so they went in there and shut it all down and took over Africa and went in there. So it wasn't white people. It wasn't Portuguese white people going meeting these Africans like Alfonso and then saying, hey, you white, you're going to be down with us. No, it was a black Portuguese people. It was black Belgianese people. It was black British people. It was black German people, you understand, who had their nation states and came and got these Africans to join up with them. And they both got together to come over here and just plant us. But what happened, like I said, was while they were gone, their white counterparts over there decided that this was their chance to take over. And so they break everything up. So they use this time to assassinate the Archduke Ferdinand, another Moor, right? And then that ushered in World War I, right? And World War II. And during that war, who was fighting? It was the Crimean War. So you had the Italian, you had the Russo-Russian Ethiopian War. You had the Italian Ethiopian War. You had the Turks fighting this. And while this is happening, all of the absolutist monarchy nobilities is fighting to hold on to what they got because these people, their slaves now, is creating this new Western ideology that they have always been in control. And so what happens now is they're stuck in Africa, they can't go back. The white boys then put white people on the phone, and now they're acting like they're the nobility. You see?
Right.
The same happened here in the United States. Same thing happens in Asia. Same thing happens in Australia, right? Now the original people, they who was at the top, now they at the bottom. Now they're going to use this as a means to interest the whole new system. Because the only slave, the global slave class, was now going to be uplifted as now the new So in the old era, the old masters become the slaves, the new masters, you see what I'm saying, could be birthed.
Right.
And it creates this whole reconstruction of history. Give that to everybody. Now, all these nations, they get together. The Africans now, they're stuck in Africa. The European Africans now stuck in Africa. They can't leave. So now they have to ensconce themselves even further. But they still need to maintain their European ties. So they do all their banking. They do all their wives. While all the African dudes from the Kwame Nkrumah on down, and during that era of independence, they always married to white women. Because the babies that they have from them white women now go on to become the rulers of that land and eventually give them the power to go back to Europe and take it over. Ain't that what's happening now? How many have, when they go to holiday, do they come to America? No. they go to Europe. When they do their banking, they go to Europe. When they set up, they go to college, they go to Europe, right? Right. So now European Africans, that's now still African, is living in these places. They can't go back, so they're doing all their business with the Europeans still. And that's what's still happening. So the tax for the continuation of colonialism that these African nations is paying in these European nations, they're actually really paying back into their own family and state. But they're just not telling the indigenous Africans that, because the Africans don't even know that these people not there. But they never want them. The white man throw you a bone. Now I'm going to show you how to show and prove this for everybody. Anybody seen the movie with Forrest Whitaker when he was playing Idi Amin?
I know what you're talking about, and I didn't. The King's Speech or something like that?
What was it called?
The King's Speech.
It was called The Last King.
The Last King. The Last King of Scotland, right?
By Idi Amin. About Idi Amin. Why would an African from Uganda be the last king of Scotland? You know why? Because that is his Ugandan name was Idi Amin, but his European name was Prince Henry from the Duke of Gloucester from Scotland.
Wow.
I'm about to show that on the screen.
Told everybody, but nobody, that everybody missed it, because they had us bugging on the fact that the shit was about the white boy. I told you, they put the white boy in there to throw you off. He's always the decoy. He's always the what you call it? The
misdirect.
Yeah. He always wanted to make you money. But remember, you can go. They showed you the 10.
Yeah, they did.
Stephen was in there signing the checks, pouring the cognac, right? With the keys to the house, but who was he fronting like was running this shit? What's his name? Carl Candy, right? The white boy.
Yeah, Candy. Yeah, Candy. Yeah, Candy man. But he was, man. That's real. That's real.
That's what's going on.
He was running the whole plantation.
Yeah, nobody listened to Candy man.
Thank you. illusion. It will be so large, so vast, it will escape their perception. Written by John D. Rockefeller, like in the early 1800s. An illusion. It will be so large, so vast, it will escape their perception. Those who will see it will be thought of as insane. We will create separate fronts to prevent them from seeing the connection between us. We will behave as if we are not connected to keep the illusion alive. Our goal will be accomplished one drop at a time as to never bring suspicion upon ourselves. This will also prevent them from seeing the changes as they occur. We will always stand above the relative field of their experience, for we know the secrets of the absolute. We will work together always and will remain bound by blood and secrecy. Death will come to he who speaks. We will keep their lifespan short and their minds weak while pretending to do the opposite. We will use our knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so they will never see what is happening. We will use soft metals, aging accelerators, and sedatives in food and water, also in the air. They will be blanketed by poisons everywhere they turn. The soft metals will cause them to lose their minds. We will promise to find them a cure on our many fronts, yet we will feed them more poison. The poisons will be absorbed through their skin and mouths. They will destroy their mind and reproductive systems. For this, their children will be born dead, and we will conceal this information. The poisons will be hidden in everything that surrounds them, in what they drink, eat, breathe, wear. We must be ingenious in dispensing the poisons, for they can see far. We will teach them that poisons are good, with fun images and musical tones. Those they look up to will help. We will immerse them to push our poisons. They will see our products being used in film and will grow accustomed to them and will never know their true effect. When they give birth, we will inject poisons in the blood of their children and convince them it is for their help. We will start early on. When their minds are young, we will target their children with what children love most, sweet things. When their teeth decay, we will fill them with metals that will kill them and steal their future. When their ability to learn has been affected, we will create medicine that will make them sicker and cause other diseases for which we will create more medicines. We will render them docile and weak before us by our power. They will grow depressed, slow, obese, and when they come to us for help, we will give them more poison. We will focus their attention toward money and material goods so they may never connect with the inner self. We will distract them with fornication, external pleasures, and dreams so that they be with the oneness of it all.
All right, you guys, thank you for joining me on this broadcast, guys. I just, again, wanted to just bring you, you know, some information, knowledge, you know, which, you know, the intention I set is which for you to get wisdom, you know, through it all, you know what I'm saying? So this is serious business, you know, and we better be aware. So, love you guys. Love you to life. Please join us this Saturday. We are going to be talking about relationships on Saturday. And on Sunday, we're going to be doing Theology of Hate. And we're going to be featuring Bobby Hemmett. And what is it? Family is going to be the subtopic. All right, guys. Love you to life. Till next time. Peace.